Welcome to Shattering Myths, the program devoted to those of you who know that all of the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt, that they're counterproductive, and they have been for a very long time. I'm Yana. Our number, if you'd like to join us anytime over the next couple of hours, is toll-free 877-300-7645. There is a van called the Quran Mobile that is rolling around Charlotte, North Carolina. Yes, indeed. And Muslim hopes that it educates people about their religion. Oh, God, if it was only true. Concerned about the public's perception of Islam after, not even in quotes, radical Islamic terrorists like the Islamic State, and they have it written here as ISIS because they don't want to write Islamic State, have dominated the news cycle. Charlotte Muslims with American Islamic Outreach Center wanted to take action. So they have this van. It's got this, it says, Islam, the truth. And then that's on the back of it. And then on the side, it shows this cute little girl, and she's laying over her Quran, and she's looking up, and she's saying that the caption is, many prophets, one message. Bullcrap. God damn, people. And excuse me, I'm not swearing here. It is bullcrap. And God does damn people, separates himself from them because of this stupidity. The only person who speaks in the Quran, the only one, the only voice of the Quran is Muhammad. He is the Quran's God. He is the Quran's author. It is from him. Full stop. If you read the Quran reordered in chronological order, set into the context of Muhammad's life, it is as it is provided by the only witnesses to his life, and recorded, the only witnesses recorded within 250 years of his death, it becomes obvious that the Quran is nothing more than Muhammad's situational scriptures for the express purpose of satiating his lust for sex, power, and money. There's nothing in it that is redeeming. There's nothing in it that is insightful. There's nothing in it that has any merit. There are no prophecies in it. Now, Muhammad isn't even called a prophet in the Quran. As a matter of fact, the Quran specifically acknowledges that Muhammad wasn't a prophet. Muhammad never gave a single prophecy in the Quran, in the Hadith. The attempts he made were laughable. Not a single one has come true. You know, to be a prophet of God, every prediction you make has to come true. Muhammad didn't get any right, and in the Quran there are none. The Quran disclaims him from being a prophet, and yet these morons of Muslims in Charlotte want you to believe many prophets, one message, when their guy wasn't even a prophet. Now, as for those other prophets, the Quran claims that Adam was a prophet and a Muslim. It claims that Abraham was a prophet and a Muslim. It claims that Noah was a prophet and a Muslim. A couple of problems with that. Neither Adam, Abraham, nor Noah, not in that order, but Adam, Noah, and Abraham, none of the three of them were prophets. And none of the three of them were Muslims. The Islamic religion wasn't even conceived until many thousands of years after they were gone. Their message to us is the antithesis of Islam. It's not one message. It is a message from the actual prophets that followed them, and the message that these non-prophets communicated in the Torah, and they're only known to us through the Torah, is the antithesis of Islam. They all formed a relationship with Yahweh, knew him by name. They received his Torah teaching. the message that is conveyed through them is the antithesis, the absolute opposite of the message conveyed in the Quran. So to confer, to infer that the Quran conveys the same message through the same people is ludicrous. It's disgusting. It's repulsive. It's perverted. It's absolutely and unequivocally untrue, and yet these moron Muslims want to convince you of this lie. And how many people are willing to stand up and say, what's wrong with you? That isn't true. All you have to do is read the story of these three individuals as they're presented in the first book of the Torah, and then read about them in the Quran, and you will realize that the Quran's message is so convoluted, so errant, so ridiculous, so opposite to the message in the Torah, that you'd reject it out of hand. But it's worse than that, because there were prophets that followed them. Moshe was a prophet. Shmuel was a prophet. Dod was a prophet. And then there were the prophets like Yashaya, Isaiah, Zechariah, Hosea, Malachi, Malachi, and on, hundreds of men over time who witnessed on behalf of Yahweh, who spoke his words, who communicated one message. And the message that they communicated was not only wrapped in prophecy to prove its authenticity, it was absolutely the same. No contradictions, not even in the smallest details. These men knew Yahweh. They spoke for Yahweh. Yahweh spoke through them in first person. The last of these prophets, Malachi, spoke around 450, 500 BCE. That's 1,000 years before Muhammad invented Islam. Submission. Yahusha was also a prophet, in that he was the diminished manifestation of God. Every statement the Quran has about him is false. Everything it has to say about him is false. So for the Quran to claim that Dod, Yahusha, that these men were somehow, and Moses, were somehow Islamic prophets, and that they were Muslims, and that they had a relationship with Allah, and that their message was the same as that found in the Quran, you'd have to be so ignorant that you're dangerous. You're a danger to yourself and to your society. You're a danger to others. You're so stupid. I mean, there's a stupid beyond foolishness, and this is it. The Quran doesn't have any prophet. Not even Muhammad is a prophet. And its claim to other prophets is ludicrous. Absolutely false. Demonstrably untrue. And so for them to be tooling around Charlotte with a van that says one or many prophets, one message, is insane. The Quran calls Yahweh's chosen people apes and swine. It orders Muslims to wipe them out, to kill them. It demeans them in every possible way. It calls Gentiles who have embraced Christianity infidels, as individuals who ought to be hunted down and killed. The Quran orders Muslims to kill anyone who does not surrender to Islam and to continue to fight on behalf of this religion of submission, of no choices, of the destruction of free will, using every weapon and every stratagem of war at their disposal until only Allah and Allah alone are worshipped. Every depiction of Allah in the Quran has him in hell, torturing people. He is modeled after Satan. In fact, that which Muslims view as good is called by Satan's name, halal. There is nothing further from the truth. And I'd like you to know the truth. That Islam is not the same as what Yahweh reflected and provided in his Torah teaching. It is the opposite. Muhammad was unlike any of Yahweh's prophets. First, because he was not a prophet. Second, because his message and his life was the antithesis of theirs. You ought to know the truth. Truth is important. But it's hard to know the truth when lies abound and when political correctness would support those affirming the lies. And they would, the adherence to political correctness would crucify those who would dare tell you the truth. You get everything from bookmobiles to batmobiles, so why not a Quranmobile? Zahir Sheikha, the director of the Quranmobile, said, "The goal is to drive the Quranmobile around Charlotte during busy hours. They hope to spread the message that Islam is a peaceful religion." Yeah, right. That's why Allah says that if you are a non-jihadist, if you as a Muslim are not engaged in fighting on behalf of Islam, of warring on behalf of Islam, that you cease to be a Muslim. That makes this message from this man the antithesis of the book he claims he's representing. Why does he need to lie? He knows the truth. He's read the Quran. He knows that the Quran orders Muslims to fight to the death. He knows that the Quran says that if you are a non-jihadist as a Muslim, that you cease to be a Muslim, that Allah wants good Muslims to kill you so that he can attend to your torture in hell. There is nothing in Allah's eyes, according to the Quran, that is worse than being a peaceful Muslim. That is the basis of the second, of the eighth, of the ninth, and again of the fifth surahs of the Quran. We'll be back. When the Quranmobile stops, people will be able to receive a free copy of the Quran and the biography of the Prophet Muhammad, says the Imam. I wish they were given a copy of the Quran. I wish they'd read it. All you got to do is read the first nine surahs. If you read the first nine surahs of the Quran and you are even quasi-capable of rendering a moral, rational, intelligent decision. If political correctness hasn't corrupted your ability to think to the point that you're just a marshmallow. If you read the first nine surahs of the Quran, it's over. The eighth surah of the Quran is so despicable. Well, the ninth surah is not much better. And the fifth surah is a declaration of war on Christianity, while the ninth surah is a war on Muslims. And the eighth surah is a war on fellow Arabs. I mean, it just moves from Muhammad declaring war on his neighbors. The second surah is a war on Jews, so let's not leave them out. The second surah declares war on Jews. The eighth surah declares war on Muhammad's fellow Arabs. The ninth surah declares war on Muslims, peaceful Muslims. And the fifth surah declares war on all Christians. And read it. Come away with this notion that it's a peaceful religion after reading the first nine surahs, you know, there's something seriously wrong with you. Yes, Scott?
I was going to say that the Quran they're handing out, I'm betting, is a very carefully edited and you know, pieced together thing that it doesn't actually give you what it actually says. It gives you what they want it to say.
Yeah, you know, but even doing that, and I have probably 12 translations of the Quran, and it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. The Quran is so despicable that if you read its first 9 surahs, you'll cease to be a Muslim. If you are the least bit rational, no matter how politically correct, no matter how incorrect the translation is, you'll cease to be a Muslim, or to support Islam. It's also interesting to give you a biography of the Prophet. There's actually only one biography written about Muhammad within probably 300 to 400 years of his death. In fact, may only be one within the first 1,000 years of his death. It's the Sirat Rasul Allah, and it is the messenger of Allah. In the Sirah, Ibn Ishaq, who is the individual that collected the hadith, the oral reports of Muhammad and his companions, in his collection, which is it was put together about 125 years after Muhammad's death, by far the earliest documented collection of oral reports from Muhammad and his companions. So it's the only one, not only the first one, but the only one written within probably 1,000 years of Muhammad's death. Muhammad is never once referred to as a prophet. Never once. And the reason is because in the Quran itself, Muhammad acknowledges that he's not a prophet. And so there can't be a biography of the prophet Muhammad, unless it was written by someone more than 1,000 years removed from the actual events, unless it completely ignores what the Quran says and what the Hadith has to say. So it's misleading by itself. Now, if you were to read, and you can read it, there is a published copy in English of the Sirat Rasul Allah, the messenger of Allah. It's written, published by, translated by Gulim, and it's for Oxford Press. If you go to the Prophet of Doom website, you'll see the offering right there in the letter to the reader. You'll find where you can go get a copy of it. And I advise you to read it, because anyone that has read it has come universally away with the exact same conclusion, that the man being depicted in it was the most perverted, most vicious, most delusional, most ignorant man to have ever been revered by humanity. You could not describe a more disgusting individual, an individual who justified pedophilia, an individual who engaged in rape, an individual who gloated as he mutilated his neighbors, an individual who does everything for sex, power, and money. It's a despicable, disgusting presentation. And so it would be lovely if people would get a copy of the actual biography of Muhammad and read it. You could not find any popular human being, any respected individual throughout all of history as repulsive as this man, as he is depicted by those who knew him best and chronicled in the earliest account of his life. The idiot Imam that is in charge of the Quran mobile says that he hopes that it will promote interfaith efforts to dispel hatred. So I ask questions for you. Do you hate pedophilia?
Yeah, like any sane person, yeah.
Yeah, I hate hate pedophiles, probably. I do. How about hate rapists?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how about do you hate mass murderers?
Not very fond of them, no.
Yeah, okay. So,
I don't know any. I don't know any, so it's hard for me.
Okay.
I hate the concept.
Yeah, okay. Would you hate any human institution that promoted pedophilia, rape, and mass murder?
Yes.
And if you didn't hate a popular human institution that was promoting pedophilia, rape, the sex trade, the enslavement of others, and mass murder, would you be more loving or less loving?
You'd be less.
That's right.
Yeah, you'd be less.
In fact, it's impossible to be genuinely loving if you accept that which is destructive, deadly, and demented, depraved. So he said, he goes on to say, it would really be better to try to come to an understanding or get to know someone. It's better to give someone a chance before you decide that you're going to hate everyone, because really it's an awfully heavy to carry around that hatred, said the spokesperson for the American Islamic Outreach Center. You know, it's not a burden to carry around hate. It's a burden when you don't oppose hate. When you don't oppose hate, you burden yourself, you burden your country, you burden your neighbors, you burden your children, you murder everyone. When you don't hate that which is evil, when you don't hate that which is destructive and deadly and deceitful. That's the whole concept of political correctness, is that let's be tolerant of those things which are hateful. Let's be tolerant of those things which are deadly and destructive. Now, I'm telling you that if you don't hate that which is harmful, then you are incapable of love. And if you don't care enough to bear the burden of coming to know and understand and then exposing and condemning that which is deadly and destructive, deceitful and damning, shame on you. Shame on you. Shouldn't have to be so few individuals that carry this torch. It should be something that the rest of the world wake up to, that they read the biography of Muhammad, that they read the Quran. And if they don't want to buy either one, or they don't want to go buy the Quran mobile to get it, go to prophetofdoom.net. PROPHETOVDOOM.net. It's all there for free. 5 different translations of the Quran. The Hadith as compiled by Ibn Ishaq. By Tabari's History of Islam. The 2 topical Hadith collections, Tabari, Bukhari, and Muslim. And that collectively these Hadith were used to order the Quran chronologically and to put it into context of Muhammad's life as it is known from the earliest Islamic sources. Read it. You'll be informed. You'll know that Muslims are trying to deceive you. And you'll know why it's important. Because the events that the world's going to witness over the next decade or so are going to be hugely shaped by the world's tolerance of Islam, by the consequence of Islam, by Islam proving that it is the antithesis of peaceful, by Islam demonstrating that its message is not the same. Vatican City. The Hebrew name for God is not to be used or pronounced in liturgical celebrations, songs, or prayers. Cardinal Francis Arens, prefect of the Congregation for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments, has said in a letter addressed to the bishops in their conferences around the world. This was dated Vatican City, September 3, 2008, 5:30 a.m. He got up early for this one. Now, that took place almost seven years ago, but I'm reading it because, you know, I've read the news stories when this came out. I've never read the actual document from the Roman Catholic Church. This document I'm reading now was posted on Roman Catholic News. It's a Roman Catholic news service that made it available. Frank, one of our listeners in the Great Pacific Northwest, sent this to me sometime last week. So I wanted to share it with you. The Hebrew name for God. By the way, does God have a Hebrew name? Yes. Is it redundant, verbose, to say the Hebrew name for God? Yes.
I would just say it's a name.
That's right.
Go with the name.
The name of God. Names don't change one language from another, but in Hebrew, Yahweh's name means something. And Yahweh's name is written with Hebrew characters. No? but Hebrew name for God? That's like saying, we don't want to, that Hebrew stuff. Gosh, we're beyond that. We're all the way to Latin. We don't want to talk and communicate and understand what was conveyed in Hebrew. God, that's that yucky language of those Jews.
I wonder what
so the Canadian Hebrew name for God, oh, God, what could that? Disgusting.
I wonder what my French-Canadian name is.
How about Scott?
Oh, well, that's kind of boring, isn't it?
How about your Arabic name?
It's still
Scott.
It's still Scott.
Okay, how about your French name?
Oh, that's Scott. A four-letter word. We don't say that.
Scott? Here I'm an Irish. You're Scotty in Irish. The Hebrew name for God. Why don't you say the name for God? And why not say his name? It's Yahweh. It's not hard to pronounce.
Oh, if they do that, though, then they have to. Then they got a lot of explaining to do.
Well, what name aren't they supposed to pronounce if they're saying that the Hebrew name for God? That they're at least acknowledging that God has a name, and he didn't say names. They know he has but one name. Oops. All right, should not be used in any celebration, in any song, in any prayer. Cardinal Francis Arins, the perfect of the Congregation for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments. Wow, what a title. Has said in a letter addressed to the bishops' conferences of the world. The letter concerns the use of the, and parenthetical here is, tetragrammaton. Tetragrammaton. Doesn't that sound like one of those trucks that turns into a robotic monster? Aren't they? I don't know what they call those things, but
are you talking Transformers?
Transformer. Well, yeah, it must be a Transformer. I mean, come on, tetragrammaton. Yeah, what the hell is a grammaton? I'm assuming tetra would mean four, and grammaton has to do with grammar. I know it's supposed to reference the four letters, but why not just say the four letters that comprise Yahweh's name? The cardinal letters teaches that the tetragrammaton, the name which uses the four Hebrew letters YHWH, in English, the name is pronounced Yahweh in English. How would you pronounce, by the way, it's Yahuwah, but how would you pronounce Yahuwah in French?
You'd think it'd be the same way.
Yahuwah. How would you pronounce Yahuwah in Latin? How about Yahuwah? How would you pronounce Yahuwah in English then?
Well, it should be Yahuwah.
You know, Scott is probably a Scottish name. How do we pronounce Scott in English?
Scott.
God, what is it with these morons? Religion. I mean, it just makes people criminally stupid. The Cardinal Arin's letter teaches that the tetragrammaton is to be translated as the equivalent of the Hebrew title Adonai, or the Greek title Kyrios. Now, translated. What is a translation, Scott?
The meaning of a word?
The meaning of a word. So, you want to translate the meaning of the word. First of all, this is a name, and if you want to teach people the truth, names are always transliterated. To transliterate means to replicate the sound of the name in another language. So if a name is written Yahweh in Hebrew, you want to use, and that is Yod Heh Wah Heh, you want to use English letters to replicate that same sound. That's called a transliteration. That's what you do with names. That's what we call the adversary Satan. In Hebrew, it's written Satan. So, you just simply transliterate the sound. names are the same way. It's why we call Yisrael, Yisrael. It's a transliteration of the sound from Hebrew into English. Now, if you're going to translate Yahweh, wouldn't you use Yahweh's translation? I mean, Yahweh translated his name. He gave us the translation of his name the moment he was telling Moshe his name. So why not use the translation that Yahweh provided for his name? Did he tell us that his name means Adonai or Kyrios? No. He told us his name is based on the Hebrew verb haya. So if you wanted to translate his name, you'd have to translate the Hebrew verb haya. It means, in first person, I am, I was, and I will be. Haya is the Hebrew verb conveying existence. I exist. So if you were to translate his name, Mr. Cardinal of Roman Catholicism, you would translate it as, he exists. He is. Adonai isn't written in the Hebrew text. It is interesting that they would use the Hebrew title Adonai, because Adonai is not used in the Hebrew. Matter of fact, it's not even found in the Torah as the basis, even the basis, Adon. Adonai is Adon plus the Y to make it first person possessive, so it makes it my Lord. But you can't translate Yahweh's name as Lord. If he were to translate his name for you, beyond saying that he exists, which is the Hebrew translation, he would translate it as Almighty Father and Shepherd. That's how he would translate it, using the Hebrew alphabet and the Hebrew concepts that he associates with himself. And those concepts are the antithesis of my Lord, Adonai. Moreover, the primary Hebrew word for Lord, which is what the Greek title Kyrios is, means Lord. The principal Hebrew word for Lord is not Adon. In fact, you'll never find Adon in the Torah. In the Torah, what you find is Edon. And Edon, written the same way, means upright pillar. It's the upright pillar in the center of the tent of the witness that enables it to stand upright, to be a protective shelter, to be enlarged so that people can be secure and protected therein. It's described as the center pillar that is on the firm foundation that the Torah provides. Edom. Now, the Hebrew words I was leading to for Lord, the Hebrew direct translation of Kyrios in Greek, is Baal. And Baal is the name and title that Yahweh universally applies to the adversary, HaSatan. So, since HaSatan is Baal, the Lord, and he is the Satan adversary, it means that Lord is the opposite of a translation of Yahweh. Now, he lists five examples of translations in the five European languages. Now, none of these is a translation. They are a change. You can't even call them a copy edit. They're an aberration, a counterfeit. They're a replacement. They aren't translations. Don't ever think that Lord is a translation for Yahweh. It is a outright counterfeit, a direct corruption, a deliberate alteration. And he gives the various Hebrew or various European names for Lord. He even uses Senor, Herr, you know, like as in Herr Dittweiler, you know, Herr Hitler, as in a lord type of respectful term. An honorary term. Regarding translations of in the literal context, the letter instructs that Adonai is to be translated in English as Lord. Adonai does not mean Lord. Edon, for example, means upright pillar, and Edon means Lord, but it's a secondary term for Lord, and Edonai doesn't mean Lord, it means my Lord. Adonai. And the Tetragrammaton Yahweh to be translated as God. But there is a Hebrew word for God. El, Elohim, Eloah. There is a Hebrew word for Lord, Baal. Why not translate correctly the words as they are written for God to be translated God, the words written for Lord to be translated as Lord, and the name of God, his one and only name, to be transliterated accurately. It's because they don't want competition. They have placed themselves above the Most High. That's why. Because Roman Catholicism actually represents Baal, the Lord. It is satanic. The words of the sacred scripture. Scripture is a Latin term. I'm trying to eliminate it from my vocabulary other than to besmirch it. And nothing in Yahweh's eyes is sacred. It's set apart. Contained in the Old and New Testament. There is no Old Testament. There is no New Testament. There is only one Testament of Yahweh, and it is comprised of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. Yosha himself made that abundantly clear. It's too bad that Roman Catholics prefer to listen to Baal, the Lord, Hasatan, rather than to Yosha, or they would know that as well. We'll be back after the news and commercial break.